The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Children 3 through 10 are invited to follow the storyteller to the music room for a Bible story, prayers, and music. They'll return at the peace.
Good morning. I welcomed a new grandchild into the world this last week. And I have to say, there's nothing like watching your adult children negotiate those first months of parenting. Those first days are so chaotic and so confusing. Many things have ended for the new parents. The predictability of a schedule, gone. Getting sleep, that's not going to happen for a while. Having free time, being able to control their environment, moving easily through the world unencumbered by baby stuff, all of that is ended for now. A new exciting chapter is starting for them, but the new beginning hasn't arrived just yet. Yes, the baby is here and she's beautiful, but their rhythm as a family, that's not settled. Someday soon, things will operate more smoothly, but right now it's just exhausting and it's disorienting. We might say that my son and his family are in a liminal season, a time in between two somewheres, where something has ended, but the new thing hasn't quite started yet. In today's scripture passage, our first reading, we dropped in on Moses having his own liminal season of sorts. Now, we the reader, we know that Moses is not yet living into the role that he is destined to fulfill. He's in between his old identity as a prince of Egypt and his new identity as the leader of the Hebrew nation. Before today's part in the story, Moses spent the first 40 years of his life in a palace. See, he was a secret Hebrew baby, saved by his mother, who floated him in a basket down the Nile River to be discovered by an Egyptian princess and then raised for 40 years in the courts of Pharaoh. At the age of 40, Moses becomes painfully attuned to his identity as a Hebrew. And he murders an Egyptian taskmaster who's abusing a Hebrew slave. Moses has no choice but to flee the palace to save himself. He flees into the desert to Midian, where he becomes a part of the household of Jethro. And he lives there in that land of Midian for the middle 40 years of his life, tending sheep of all things, trying to figure out who he is. It's during this middle period of his life, this in-between time, that Moses has this most profound encounter with God. God charges Moses to be the one to lead the Israelites out of their slavery. Moses will live for another 40 years. These people live a long time in the Old Testament. After this calling, wandering in the wilderness and leading the Hebrew people as they become a new nation together. 40 years, and then 40 years, and then 40 years. There is something poetic about the symmetry of Moses' life. It's noteworthy that God calls Moses to his true life's work out of this middle period, this time in between two other somethings, when nothing in this middle period really makes sense to him. We should also note that when Moses encounters God, he isn't just in a liminal time of his life, he is standing in a liminal space, tending his sheep on Mount Horeb, which is known as a sacred mountain to the Hebrew people. Later, it becomes referred to as Mount Sinai, where Moses will bring the people again to receive the Ten Commandments. For now, he's in this in-between time, this liminal space. Borrowing language from the Celtic tradition, we might call this Mount Horeb a thin space, a place where the veil between the earthly and the spiritual realm are permeable, a place that offers a heightened sense of connection to the divine. And in this thin space, God appears to Moses in the form of this shimmering bush, a bush that burns but is not consumed. Now, Scripture tells us something really important right here at the beginning of the story. Scripture tells us that Moses turns aside to look at this unique thing. God doesn't begin the encounter by shouting out, "Hey, Moses, get over here and look at this bush." God could have done that. No, God waits until Moses turns aside and attends to that bush. He waits until Moses walks onto the holy ground, and then he speaks and he calls. What does it mean that Moses attends to the bush? Attending is a spiritual stance. It requires paying exquisite attention to what's right here and right now. It's a state of presence that involves a slowing down of time, seeing with different eyes, watching for the shimmer of God's presence right here among us. When we are in an attending stance, we might say that we are attuning ourselves to the vibration of God, much like the old classical piano tuner would tune a piano by striking a tuning fork, listening for the tone of that fork, while striking the key on the piano and bringing resonance between those two tones. Tightening or loosening the piano string until the tones came in resonance with one another. Moses, when he attends to the bush, is tuning himself to God, just as we do when we are attending to God in our spiritual lives. Franciscan father and author Richard Rohr says this about the kind of season Moses was in, a liminal season. Liminality is that space that human beings hate to occupy, where the biblical God is continually taking us. Why does God do this? Why does God unsettle us? Throughout biblical history, we see that God has shaped people through liminal experiences. He begins with Adam and Eve, who are driven out of the Garden of Eden, setting up this liminal experience for the entire human experience. He moves on to Abraham, taking him out of his homeland, leading him to become the father of a new nation. On to Jonah in the belly of the whale because he resists Nineveh. To Joseph stuck in a pit. To Jesus coming out of the baptismal waters and being driven into the wilderness to be transformed and ready for his ministry. To Paul struck with blindness on the road to Damascus. In each of these stories, God leads our faith heroes out of settled situations into liminal spaces where they are transformed into something and someone new. In this season, St. Columba's, you are becoming part of this great tradition. I am here today to charge you with this task. You are in liminal space. And God is more present to you now than God ever has been. Your rector has retired. A new rector has not yet arrived. You have an interim Joshua. You are facing several months of some disorientations. Things are just not going to feel quite right without Ledley's calm, reassuring presence among you. But this is not a time to rush or strive. The temptation in this season will be to pretend that everything is normal, that your vestry and your staff are fully in control and nothing outrageous will happen here while we wait. Some of you may be tempted to disengage until that new rector arrives. Others of you will work vigorously overtime to make sure that nothing changes or feels out of sorts. Both of those responses would be a mistake. You see, it would be a shame to waste this opportunity before you. In the months ahead, God is going to set some bushes burning in here. There will be opportunities for each of you to turn aside and notice with fresh eyes what God is doing. You can attend to those burning bushes, or you can simply carry on with your usual busyness of programming and ministry and life. This is your moment, St. Columba's. You are standing on holy ground. Will you waste this opportunity? Or will you attend to what God is doing in your midst right here, right now? Amen.